This is Crime Binge.
Welcome to Crime Binge,
the podcast.
And this week, we're bringing you episode 47.
And we're coming at you with another Florida case.
Yes.
And this week, we're covering the case of Tyler Hadley.
Yes. And in today's episode, the case of Tyler Hadley is that of a Florida teenager who felt like an outcast within his community and family, and in an effort to gain the respect of his peers or simply to punish his parents, Tyler killed his parents and threw a house party while their bodies were locked away in their bedroom. The majority of our information today, by the way, is from an incredible Rolling Stone article written by Nathaniel Rich called Tyler Hadley's Killer Party. It's very good. Highly suggest it. And we got most of our info from there.
Yeah, it is a really good article.
Yeah, it really paints a picture.
It does.
But before we fully get into today's case, Sarah, what are you binging?
Okay, so this week I'm binging another Netflix show.
Okay.
It came out this year. There's only 8 episodes. It actually came out this month. But it's called 100 Humans, Life's Questions Answered.
I keep seeing that and I haven't watched it.
Yeah, it was like on the top 10 Netflix list.
Yeah.
And so basically it's 100 just random participants. They have 50 male, 50 female, or if they are transgender, how they identify.
Okay.
And 20 and 8 each age range, from like people in their 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, and then 60 and above.
Okay.
And then each episode, they have a subject.
Yeah.
And then they do like 5 or 6 or 7 experiments. And at the end, they kind of like bring the whole group together and they talk about the results of the experiments with the group.
Okay.
And so like I'm on episode 5 right now.
Okay.
Out of 8.
Yeah.
But the first one was what makes us attractive. And so you like the first experiment was them like saying if they think that they're in the top 50% of attractive people within their group.
Oh wow.
And then like 10 people left and that's it. And then they said, well, what about everyone who's left? Are you within the 50% of people that's left? And then only like 15 people left. And then they just did like crazy experiments. The second episode was about age.
Yeah.
And so they teamed 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, and 60s.
Right.
Like they all wore their different color and then they tested their memory, their athleticism, like their problem solving. And then they did gender. They did male versus female, who like talks the most, who's a better matchmaker.
Right.
And like, fuck, I can't remember the other episodes.
You don't have to tell them all.
Yeah. But it just, and then they went into like race and happiness and stuff like that.
That's cool.
But yeah, it's really interesting because I love all of those like gender studies and age studies and like just like surveys and random ass experiments.
Right.
I love it. And so this episode or this show is just super interesting to me.
Yeah, it sounds really cool. I like that a lot. It feels like a fun way to look at things.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's awesome.
So what are you binging?
I am also binging a Netflix show.
Okay.
Because we have been in like self-isolation, I've consumed even more media than I thought was ever possible before, which is just truly great. But I finally sat down and watched The Haunting of Hill House. And let me tell you, it was a good, 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 good show.
Yeah.
It was a spooky show. And I made the mistake of watching it before I went to bed. And I was up until like 2 a.m. on one night because I couldn't fall asleep. And the ghosts really freak me out.
Yeah.
And the show is like very, very good at doing it. And it's like the way the story is told is they grow up in a haunted house and then it flashes to them being adults living with like the aftermath of it. And then also flashes back to them as kids living in the house. And There's one episode, episode 6, which is just like a series of really long shot episodes, so or like scenes. Mm-hmm. So one scene is 17 minutes long. That was just one continuous shot.
Oh, wow.
And they built the entire set around this one episode so they could film this shot, basically. And I just think that's really cool. And the show itself was really good. It has really good actors. I forget the director's name, but he like loves using the same actors. So he also directed Gerald's Game. It's the same woman from Gerald's Game as the mom in this. And it's really good. I really liked it. And I've been really into scaring the shit out of myself recently. Like, I watched 3 scary movies this past week, and I never watch scary movies. Well, so
yeah, I don't either. Like,
yeah,
I can watch like murderer stuff all the time, but like paranormal spooky movies and everything,
yeah,
I cannot do it. I have nightmares so bad.
Oh, I definitely know that it's like me being like a creep and wanting to scare myself in other ways other than like this coronavirus stuff. So I'm just like, let me watch supernatural things and like a bunch of scary movies. So that's what I've been doing. But the show was incredible. Highly suggest. And I'm excited that the second season will be coming out this year now that I'm caught up.
But yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
I never started it.
It's really good. I highly suggest it.
Okay.
But before we get into today's episode, we just wanted to give everyone a little update on CrimeCon.
CrimeCon's been moved. It was the beginning of May, and it's now October 30th through November 1st. So we will be there for my birthday.
Yeah.
On Halloween.
We'll be partying it up with Sarah's birthday.
Honestly.
With your birthday, not for your birthday. Just with it.
Honestly, the best time for CrimeCon, I feel like, is on Halloween.
Yeah.
But we're still going. We just want to let you know, even though it's been moved, we will still be there all 3 days. And I feel like a little bit it's a blessing.
Yeah.
Because we have more time to get stuff ready that we need to get ready. If you want to get tickets, you have a lot more time to get tickets or save up money to get tickets.
Yeah.
And they're adding more people every day. Like Billy Jensen's been added from Murder Squad. I want to go see the podcast Morbid, which was one of my binges before.
Right.
Like, there's lots of amazing people there. And also, hopefully, maybe we'll have a fan base that goes and wants to meet up with us.
Yeah. We can do, like, a little, like, meet up with people. That'd be fun. We'll organize it in some way. But, yeah, it's just a fun thing to get together with people that like the same type of stuff that you like, have the same interest, and maybe you could meet a new friend if you come to CrimeCon.
Exactly. And see people that you've been watching on TV, on Forensic Files and everything since you were little.
Yeah, for sure. It's a super fun time. So we just wanted to update you that. If you already have tickets, you probably already knew. But if you didn't, just a little update.
You have more time to get tickets.
More time. It's always great.
All right. So now we're going to kick it off with the Tyler Hadley case.
Yes, let's get into this.
So he was born Tyler Joseph Hadley on December 16th, 1993. So only a year before I was born.
Yes.
And he was born to parents Blake and Mary Jo Hadley. Blake Hadley worked as a watch engineer for a power plant for 30 years. And Mary Jo worked for 24 years as an elementary school teacher. Tyler also had an older brother named Ryan, who was about 10 years older than him, and they lived in Port St. Lucie, Florida, which is on the east coast of Florida, about 100 miles north of Miami. When Tyler was born, he was premature, and he only weighed 3 pounds, 10 ounces, and he had to stay for a month in an incubator.
Is it called an incubator for human babies?
That's what the articles said.
Really?
Yeah.
That's so interesting. You feel like it would have a different name, but
well,
it makes sense. That is what it does.
The TC Palm article said that it was an incubator. So, who knows?
It's just one of those things that sounds wrong, but you know is probably right, and it's just like, why?
Sounds like something for eggs.
Yeah, like for chickens.
Mm-hmm. So, growing up, Tyler was a very quiet boy, and family members described him as loving but withdrawn. He suffered from anxiety, low self-esteem, depression, and bulimia. Anytime he started projects, sports, or learned instruments like the drums or trombone, he'd quickly quit them, thinking that he wasn't good enough and that he was a step below everyone else.
Which is all, like, common side effects of having those mental illnesses.
Yes. By the time he was 10, he had seen multiple doctors who prescribed him multiple medications for acne, depression, and a thyroid condition. His mother also put Tyler on growth hormones because she didn't want him to be bullied for being short and chubby.
Which, like, that's just part of his stage.
Yeah.
Like, everybody grows differently.
During his preteen years, Tyler became a troublemaker. He defaced public bathrooms, broke car windows, stole people's Christmas lights off their lawns, and he started setting fires in the woods.
What a literal Grinch. Like, right? Let me steal your Christmas light.
When Tyler was 12, he started self-medicating by starting to drink alcohol. By 15, he was smoking weed and started taking pills like Xanax, Percocets, and oxycodone.
And for those of you who don't know, Florida is like the leading state pretty much when it comes to young adults abusing pills like this. So this is a very common problem, especially in an area like Port St. Lucie.
Mm-hmm. And then by the next year when he was 16, he started taking ecstasy and DMT, which is a hallucinogen.
Just like is just a bunch of chemicals.
Yeah.
Just a bunch of chemicals.
Tyler, at this point, was a tall, skinny kid. He was 6'1" and only weighed 160 pounds. So he began skipping school, and when he did go, he would act out in class in nonsensical outbursts. Like, one time, he just started, like, mooing in the middle of class.
Yeah. He just wanted to be different.
Yeah, and he wanted attention.
Yeah, he needed attention because of what I'm going to say next. His parents became increasingly strict with Tyler as he started acting out, but he still had a good relationship with his parents from what everyone could tell. Once he told his friend Ryan that him and his mother got into a fight where he told his mother to shut up, but he immediately apologized and felt really bad about it for a while. He would also wait up late at night for his dad to get home from work, and they would spend hours playing basketball together, which is really sweet. Like, he just wants to hang out with his dad. One time, his mother stuck up for Tyler when another mother said that she had seen him smoking in the woods with some other kids. Mary Jo told her that her son did not smoke, and the mom was like, "No, I saw it with my own eyes." And Mary Jo was just like, "Well, I know Tyler. And I don't think he was smoking." So she was just like very protective over him. He did also say that his father had hit him a couple of times when they would get into arguments with each other.
Yeah, but there was no like proof of evidence of that. And there was never like police called or anything.
This was just something he said after the fact. And Tyler and his friends actually got into some trouble when they lit the River Park Wildlife Preserve on fire. And they did this by dragging an old couch into a clearing, throwing gasoline on it, and lighting it on fire. And they ended up getting only off with a warning, which is pretty surprising. Yeah. But very lucky of them. In April of 2011... when he was 17 years old, Tyler got into a fight while at a friend's house, and the police were called, and Tyler was arrested for battery. Since he had a juvenile record, already being convicted of a burglary previously, he was sentenced to a week at St. Lucie County Jail and 2 weeks of house arrest. Because of this, Tyler's mother took away his phone while he was on house arrest, but he was still able to communicate with his friends via Facebook because we always have a way as teens.
Exactly.
And this is going to be the first conversation we tell you that Tyler has with his friends, But we're going to use his actual conversations a lot throughout this because he was a teenager in the 2000s, like growing up with technology. So mm-hmm. they play a major role in this investigation. And before we get into this, because we're going to be doing so many of these conversations, Sarah is going to be Mr.
Tyler Hadley. Yes. So yeah. My voice will be of Tyler.
Yes. So anything that he says will be her, and I will read anything that he talks about with anyone else.
Yeah. So starting off with the first one, this is Tyler having a conversation with his friend Isadora Gasho.
Yes.
Don't text me about drugs.
What happened?
My mom has it because I got arrested on Monday and she's flipping shit. I just got out today.
Oh, shit.
Fucking shit sucked.
You're a bad kid.
Just kidding. It's a pirate's life for me.
LMAO, WTF are you talking about?
I don't fucking associate with non-pirates.
What?
Okay, I'm done with all the nautical nonsense.
Smiley face, you're so silly. Oh, sorry. What are you doing?
Nothing. Considering suicide.
Why?
Because I want to die, I guess. What are other reasons? What other reasons are there?
Are you being serious?
Yes. I do want to die sometimes.
Don't die. Smoke a bowl whenever you're down.
I used to. Now, I drink a lot when I'm depressed. Now, in all caps, it fills the emptiness inside me.
You're quite a character.
Yes, but all my smiles are fake. So that was that conversation.
Yeah, they're all like very dramatic.
Yes. So the next month after this, after his house arrest, Tyler talked to his friend Mercedes about his house arrest and about Mother's Day.
I'm sad. That sucks, dude. Is your mom pissed? LOL.
No, she's disappointed. I feel bad. She was crying.
Aw, did you do anything for her today? It's Mother's Day.
Yeah, me and my brother took her out to eat and whatnot.
Aw, that's so nice, LOL.
Yeah, I know. It was a nice day. So the next incident involving Tyler acting out happened in the next month, which was June 2011. Tyler came home on a Friday night, quote, smashed as fuck. In his stupor, Tyler had urinated on his friend Desiree Gerhard's bed. His mother, Mary Jo, had had enough of his behavior and had him admitted to New Horizons, which is a mental health clinic. In order to have Tyler committed, Mary Jo invoked the Baker Act. And the Baker Act is a law in Florida that allows parents to commit their children, if they're under the age of 18, to involuntary psychiatric treatment. And the act is used if it is deemed a likelihood that the child may cause serious bodily harm to themselves or others in the near future. A coworker had asked Mary Jo, if she was afraid of Tyler ever hurting her. She said that she was only worried that he may hurt himself. Mary Jo herself suffered from depression, and she wanted to take any steps necessary for Tyler, worried that he may also suffer from it, and he had received counseling for it before, as we stated earlier.
Right.
Just 2 weeks before the main party, Mary Jo had told her friends that she believed Tyler was over the hurdle and was happy, and she thought Tyler was back to his old self. The weekend before Tyler murdered his parents and threw the party, he went with his father and grandfather to a family reunion in Georgia. His grandfather stated that he saw no indication that there were any problems between Tyler and his parents. And Tyler's brother, Ryan, had moved away 6 weeks before the party to North Carolina to go to college. He had hoped to finish up college and then move back to Florida to work with his father at the power plant.
So, Tyler had kept telling his friends that he wanted to throw a party, but no one believed he would be able to because they knew his parents were getting more strict with him. Like, he had been arrested. He had done these things.
He'd just been committed.
Yeah, his parents weren't probably going to let him throw a party. His friends started asking him if the party was still on, and he would reply, "I'm working on it." So they all assumed that this just meant it wasn't happening and he didn't want to tell them yet. The night before the party, Tyler had been out to dinner with his parents and ran into his friend Cameron at a gas station on their way home. Cameron asked how his parents were, and Tyler said that they were all right. Cameron said, "Oh, well, it's my birthday today." And Tyler said, "Oh, cool. Well, I'm having a party at my house tomorrow night and we can celebrate." So he was definitely planning on having the party.
Yes.
But on July 16th, 2011, Hadley received a Facebook message from his friend Antonio Ramirez.
Tyler starts, "Sup, brah?
Chillin'. What you doing tonight?"
"Trying to have a party at my crib."
"Your parents ain't home?"
"Nope. Well, they're leaving soon."
So, around 1:15 p.m., Tyler posted on Facebook, "Party at my crib tonight. Maybe." Again, people didn't believe it would actually happen, but at 8:15 p.m., he posted on Facebook again, "Party at my house. Hit me up." A lot of people still didn't think it was real, so they sent messages like, "What if your parents come home?" To which he would reply, "They won't. Trust me." No one at school really knew this kid. They just saw him around without talking to him. He was a pretty big loner type.
Yeah.
The town of Port St. Lucie was filled with older people. It had a ton of nursing homes, golf courses, bingo halls, and a shuffleboard club. Which, if that doesn't scream elderly to you, yeah. I don't know what does.
It's basically Venice, Florida.
Yeah, like, it's just an older town where people go to retire.
Yes.
There was no downtown access to the beach, and the parks were closed at night. Much like how everything in Sarasota closes at 9 p.m.
Yes.
So, because there was nothing for young people to do, all the kids in town came, even though they didn't know Tyler. They were like, "There's a party and we are going to it." Before the party started, Tyler stopped at an ATM to pull out money and then picked up some of his friends to bring him back to his house. He was flashing around the money he took out from the bank, which was around $5,000 from his parents' account, which I want to know. What bank allows you to withdraw that amount of money from your ATM? Because mine's like $300. That's it, honey.
Yeah. When I used to pay my roommate for rent and my rent was $360 a month.
Yeah.
I had to go to the ATM 2 days because I could only pull out $300 and then pull out the other like $80.
Yeah. It's crazy. I don't get it. But
I know.
Whatever.
So, a kid named Mike Young got to the party around 11:30 p.m. after he and his friends exhausted everything to do in town by going to the mall and then hanging out at McDonald's.
Which, same. Hangouts in McDonald's parking lots are never a good time. Oh. They mostly just consist of, like, people revving their engines.
I was at a few McDonald's hangouts.
Oh, I know. I know you used to be there. You had a couple of boyfriends who were McDonald hangout guys.
Yeah. I did. This kid, Mike Young, arrived with about 10 or so of his friends, and they were all like the popular athletic guys.
Imagine having 10 friends.
I know. Tyler answered the door wearing a long black t-shirt, black Dickies, and black Nike Air Force high top sneakers.
Typical,
so he was just
stuff.
Like all black.
Yeah.
Mike said he seemed anxious, but it was clear that he was rolling on ecstasy. Tyler told them as they came in, "I don't want no one smoking inside. It's my parents' house." While at the party, Mike was talking to some girls on the couch when a very drunk skater-looking kid came up to him and while laughing said, "I smell dead people." And Michael goes, "What is that supposed to mean?" Like, and I personally feel like here maybe he was taking it as like a threat. Like,
yeah.
He's going to kill him or something like that.
Right.
So the kid responds, "Oh, I don't know. People are smoking in here. That's all." And just walks away laughing.
Yeah.
So there's just like a lot of random talk about death and people dying.
There is.
At this party.
There is. And it's like, I wonder if they thought about these conversations in hindsight. And that's when they, like, came to their mind or, like,
yeah,
you know what I mean? Like, did these convos actually happen sometimes? But
very true.
Who knows?
But soon there were 60 kids at this party and they were going hard. They played beer pong on the dining room table. They were like eating the food out of the cupboards and like cooking food on the stove.
Yeah.
Dropping bottles on the floor, putting their cigarettes out on the carpet and the walls. And like, I went to a decent amount of parties.
Yeah.
That never happened at any of the parties I went to.
I went to like maybe two parties in high school and they were not very serious at all. But that definitely didn't happen at those parties either.
Like, I didn't go to a whole bunch and they were like in college, not in high school. But okay.
Yeah.
But like still, you were respectful of the house you were in.
Yeah.
And like, maybe you spilt a drink and that was the extent of the damage in the house.
Right. Yeah, it's very interesting that they were just like immediately trashing this house. I wonder if it's because no one knew them, if like maybe they thought no one lived in the house. I don't know. Kids are terrible though. But they were also doing like hardcore fucking drugs.
They were. And while this was happening, Tyler didn't really care about the damage to the house. He cared that the party was getting loud, because he didn't want anyone to call the police.
Yeah.
People at the party then started going on the family's computer, which was set up in like the main living area. And they used it to play music very loudly, specifically Wiz Khalifa and Lil Wayne.
It was the time.
I know. I was like, I kind of missed those 2011 days. And people noticed that there were the computer area was like much dirtier than the rest of the house.
Yeah.
And there was a brown, sticky, dried up liquid on the computer's white keyboard that people just assumed was soda or beer.
Yeah, because the house was like dark the entire time the party was going on for some reason. And Tyler ended up like beginning to tell people, you know what? It's just better if you smoke inside the house, because he didn't want people going outside and being loud, disrupting the neighbors. And honestly, these kids kind of sounded like assholes because they were openly mocking Tyler in front of him. And someone even jokingly said he killed his parents.
Yeah, like,
I
don't get all of this.
No, me either. But like, a lot of these kids fucking felt like they knew in their hearts what was going on.
Right.
And people kept asking Tyler where his parents had gone. And this is probably why they were getting weird vibes, because he told everybody different things. He told Mark Andrews they went to Georgia, and Mark and Tyler had been friends since Mark's family moved to Port St. Lucie 11 years prior. Mark recalls a time where Tyler went to his house after having a fight with his parents when he was 10 and vowed to Mark that he would one day kill his parents. And he actually has a couple friends that he tells he's going to kill his parents. Mm-hmm. Then he told Ryan Stonesifer there in Orlando, and finally told another person, they don't live here. This is my house.
This is my house. I'm 17.
Yeah.
Welcome, MTV, welcome to my
Tyler's friend, Marky Phillips, missed the party that night because he was visiting his grandparents in Chicago. He hung out with his friend 2 days before, playing video games at Marky's house, and he said his friend seemed fine. But 2 weeks prior to that, they were hanging out, and Tyler randomly blurted out that he, quote, wanted to kill his parents and have a big party afterwards.
Blink, blink, blink.
He said he wanted to do this because he said no one had ever thrown a party with the bodies still in the house before.
He's not wrong.
Yeah, probably for good reason.
Yeah.
And his friend told him it was crazy, and everyone who he talked to just kind of assumed he was weird and was just joking around, because he was a weird kid. Within the same time frame, on July 2nd, 2011, Tyler complained to another friend, Mercedes, on Facebook, saying,
LOL, yup, she's a cunt, for sure. I might kill her.
OMG, no jail. Or, I mean, prison, LOL.
Oh, well, heart emoji.
It's just so disturbing to read the casualness of his text.
Also, when he called her a cunt, for sure.
Yeah.
He said, F-A space S-H-O. Fa show.
Fa show. Yeah.
Instead of faux show.
Yeah. Very interesting. And the morning of the party itself, Tyler had the following exchange with a friend at 9:40 in the morning. Did you do it?
No, but I'm gonna.
Bet. You really should now. Do it.
Don't worry, I am. Then I'm having a party.
Yeah, party time.
By midnight, there were 100 people and 2 dogs at the party. One doggo was a black lab named Sophie, and then the other was an old, partially deaf and blind beagle. The party had been going on for several hours, but Tyler's bedroom looked as if someone had come in and robbed it. There were clothes and bedding scattered around the floor, and the bed had even been cracked.
Like the bed frame. Mm-hmm. That's insane.
Around midnight, Stephanie Castaneda?
Yeah.
Arrived at the party with her friend. Stephanie had actually had a crush on Tyler, but didn't really know him super well. She recalled him standing awkwardly near his mother's computer, and he wasn't talking to anyone. Later, she went to the bathroom where she found the beagle hiding in the shower and, like, shaking and scared.
Yeah.
A lot of people later report that Tyler was acting strange all evening. More strange than usual because, you know, he was kind of a weird guy.
Yeah. He just gave off that vibe. Yeah.
Around 12:30, the party began running out of beer. So Tyler asked Mark Andrews, who was 21, to go get some with his girlfriend. And Tyler just, like, hands him a wad of 20s and goes, "Can you buy 4 cases of Busch Light?" Which is a trash beer.
Yeah, like, get a slightly better beer, my guy, if you know this is the last thing you're doing.
And his girlfriend assumed that Tyler's dad had passed away a while ago, and that's why he had so much cash, as Tyler had previously mentioned to her that his dad was dead.
Yeah.
When they got back to the house, kids were walking around the party just trying to sell drugs. Like, one kid was selling marijuana, and the other one just had a baggie of white pills and was like, "Pill for a dollar, pill for a dollar."
Which also kind of feels cheap.
Yeah.
You know?
Definitely. And people began texting each other that this was the biggest party ever, and more people began showing up.
Yeah. You can come to this house and literally do whatever you want, teenager. When someone said, "Thanks for throwing this party, man. How have you been?" Tyler replied, "All right," without, like, any emotion. Just like, all right, good. And this guy felt it was weird because despite the growing insanity of the party, Tyler was oddly calm all evening until one boy started running around the house shirtless with a mailbox in his hand.
But we do also have to remember that he was 100% rolling all evening.
Oh, yeah.
Which is probably why he seemed calm.
Probably.
Until this point.
Yeah. And, like, honestly, this whole night sounds like what the movie Project X was trying to be, which is very interesting, without the murder.
Mm-hmm.
So the shirtless boy had taken the mailbox off the neighbor's lawn, and this obviously really pissed Tyler off. He started yelling about how stealing a mailbox was a felony and that the police would already be on their way. Like, he was just freaking out.
Yeah. He was worried about the police.
Yeah, he didn't want the police to show up.
I wonder why.
Tyler took the mailbox back out to the curb and just, like, stuck it back in the ground of his neighbor's house. And around this time, someone noticed that the master bedroom door was closed. A guy named Anthony Snook assumed people were in there getting high, so he tried opening the door to join them, but it was locked. It was dark in the house at this point, but he noticed that there was, like, a weird black smear about a foot long beneath the door. And to him, it just looked like an oil-based paint that someone had tried to wipe away but just couldn't do. At 1:15 a.m., Justin Wright, which is not his real name, began noticing that there was a smell in the house. And he just assumed that it was due to the wreckage of the house at the point. And he was like, there was a lot of teenagers with BO and beer spilling everywhere. Yeah. He just thought it was that. And he asked Tyler what the house rules were. And Tyler just responded, "Just do whatever you want."
Tyler was done.
Yeah, he didn't care.
So his friend, Mark Andrews, began to leave the party and Tyler asks if he could speak with him on the way out. Dude, I did some things. I might go to prison. I might go away for life. I don't know, dude. I'm freaking out right now.
What are you talking about?
Dude, I know you're not going to believe me. No one will believe me. I freaking killed someone.
Dude, you killing somebody is your own business. Don't be telling me that sort of thing. I don't need to know.
Like, this guy's been your friend for 11 years and you're just like, don't tell me.
Honestly, though, like, if you were a teenager and your friend was like, I murdered someone, you'd be like, fuck, what do I do with that information? You just fucking murdered someone.
You're not wrong.
I would be freaking out.
I would have shit my pants and been like, he's gonna murder me now. So Tyler went back into the house where he just continued to have alarming conversations.
He loved it.
Yeah. He walked up to this kid, Richard Acevedo, and confessed to him that he wanted to kill himself because he killed somebody. Back in his room, he started talking to Kimberly Thieben, who, we didn't write this, but her nickname in high school was K Nasty. And I was just so upset. I was upset. But K Nasty lived two houses down from him. And he basically just told her that he was going away for 60 years and she would find out why tomorrow.
Yeah, just like being very vague. Around 1 a.m., Tyler asked his friend Michael Mandel to go for a walk with him, and he told him that he killed his parents, but Michael didn't really believe him. Until he noticed both of Tyler's parents' cars were home, and if they were out of town, why would their cars still be at the house?
You're not wrong. This was before Uber.
Yeah. Tyler then told him to go look in the garage. When he did, he immediately saw a bloody shoe print, so he ran out of the garage and closed the door.
That's what I would do, except I would run out of the house then.
Yeah, honestly. But at that point, you're like probably terrified that this kid's gonna murder you. Then Tyler took him to the master bedroom where there were traces of blood near the door, which is what this Anthony Snook person was seeing earlier. Mm-hmm. Tyler opened the door where inside Michael could see dining room chairs and blood-soaked towels stacked in a huge pile. At the bottom of this pile was a thick white leg sticking out. Michael later said in an interview, I opened the door. I saw bloody sheets piled everywhere. I saw broken pictures with blood on them, and I looked down and saw his dad's leg there. He also said that Tyler told him that he did it because of combination of rap music, constant fights with his parents, and financial problems his family was having. He told Michael that the devil had possessed him and that he would commit suicide if he was caught.
So Tyler then went on to tell Michael what happened. That afternoon, shortly after 5, Tyler hid his parents' cell phones so they couldn't call for help. He then listened to the song Feel Lucky by Lil Boozy to psych himself up. He took 3 pills of ecstasy because he was worried that he wouldn't be able to kill them if he was sober.
That's a lot of ecstasy.
It is, which is why he was rolling all night.
I've never done ecstasy, but 3 sounds like too many to me.
It sounds like too many.
Yeah.
So he goes into the garage and takes a claw hammer and then goes back inside. Inside, he stood behind his mom while she's on the computer for a full 5 minutes, just talking to her while he thought about what to do. Then he raised the hammer and brought it down on her head. She began screaming, "Why?" Hearing his wife scream, Tyler's dad Blake ran out of the bedroom and saw what his son was doing. He asked Tyler, "Why?" And Tyler responded, screaming, "Why the fuck not?" He kept repeating this question, "Why the fuck not?" the whole time while he beat his father to death as well. And this must have been a struggle for Tyler because Blake was 6'1", like Tyler was, but where Tyler weighed 160 pounds, his dad weighed 300 pounds.
Yeah.
So, like, double the size. And when this was over, he wrapped towels around his parents' heads and dragged them into the master bedroom. The bodies were laying side by side, face down, with the hammer on the ground between them. And it took him 3 hours to clean up all the blood and gore, which was actually much longer than Tyler had anticipated it happening. He threw every item that he thought could be incriminating into his parents' bedroom, just throwing it on top of his parents' bodies. And they were buried under a pile of broken dishes, shattered glass, bloody towels and pillowcases, books, a coffee table, a sponge mop, Clorox wipes, and a canister of coffee grounds.
Yeah.
Tyler then took a shower, and he stated later that he stared at his reflection in the mirror and laughed.
Yeah. Also, if it isn't obvious, just because I feel like this shows how Tyler is as a person, his mom was killed at her keyboard, and everyone kept commenting about the brown stains mm-hmm. they noticed on the keyboard.
Thinking it was soda or beer.
Yeah, and, like, he didn't even clean that up to have people over. And it's like he wanted to be caught.
Yeah.
You know, like, all of those things he did feels like he wanted to be caught and didn't know how to get caught.
Yeah, and telling everyone.
Everybody.
Like, I know it's probably difficult, but not cleaning up all the blood that was, like, clearly on the floor.
Yeah. It's just, it seems like it was definitely done for a reason.
Yeah.
So Max Mazur, another friend of Tyler, was standing in the hall outside of the room when Michael ran out of the room and slammed the door behind him. But despite learning this news, Michael didn't leave the party immediately. Instead, he stayed for an additional 45 minutes, and in this time, he took selfies with Tyler, and we should post a picture of one of the selfies.
Oh, we definitely will.
Because it's very uncomfortable.
Yeah, and it's like,
I know why he did it, because he's a teenager and he's in shock that someone just told him that he killed someone and he doesn't know what to do. But luckily, we find out Michael's a great person.
Yeah.
Around 2 a.m., someone announced that there was another house party going on somewhere, so people began leaving. And the leaving of all the cars was the last straw for the neighbors, so they finally called the police, which I just think is so funny. They're like, now they're leaving and they're loud. Like, they're just pissed. And one of the neighbors who called the police said that she didn't understand why Tyler's parents would let him throw such a loud party and didn't call the police until some of the partygoers wandered onto her lawn and started peering into her window.
That's when I would call the police.
Yeah. Apparently, the girl who was rumored to be having the party actually was not. And when 14 cars showed up in her driveway, she walked out in her pajamas and was like, what the fuck are you guys doing?
Yeah.
Get off my lawn.
So after all the neighbors called the cops, two officers from the Port St. Lucie Police Department arrived at the house within minutes. And by this point, there were fewer than 20 people left at the party. The police rang the doorbell, and Tyler just told everyone to be quiet and go hide in his bedroom.
How every party goes in right? high school.
So he opened the door, and the police explained that there had been a noise complaint, and they talked for a few minutes, but then the cops left and the party started again. By 2:30 a.m., it was clear to his friends that there was something wrong with Tyler. In fact, one of his friends grabbed some Percocet pills on his way out and hid them in a closet because he believed Tyler was going to kill himself with them. Tyler started doing weird things like checking the windows and closing the blinds like someone was watching them.
Getting real paranoid.
Yeah. He told people that the party was a lot of fun and he might have another party the next day. After saying this, he mentioned to a friend, David Garcia, that he wanted to have another one the next night because he may be going away for a while. David asked if he was moving or going on vacation. Tyler said he was just going away. And when David asked if he was coming back, Tyler said, I don't know, because I'm thinking about killing myself.
He was just so upfront with it.
He was. Just so casual. Tyler then turned off all the lights in the front room again in order to avoid any attention coming to the house. And before Tyler's friend Ryan left at 3 a.m., He just saw Tyler making himself a sandwich in the dark.
Yeah. So, by 4:40 a.m., Tyler posted on his Facebook wall again, "Party at my house again. Hit me up." But outside his front door, policemen were standing there waiting. Michael Mandel had called the Crime Stoppers hotline and told them everything that Tyler had done.
Like I said earlier.
Yeah.
Good deed, but, like, it's kind of weird that he just, like, stayed at the party while there were dead people inside the house.
Yeah. I think it's just because he was scared. So offers Adrian Zamoski and Charles Green were dispatched to the house where they parked across the street. They walked up to the house and they could hear people talking inside. And they actually could see into the front window because there was like a little crack there. And they could see Tyler walking around inside, talking to himself, and later reported that they felt he looked disturbed. Like he just was saying weird things to himself and looked really distressed on his face. And they saw Tyler repeatedly taking handfuls of books off of a bookshelf and throwing them to the ground in the back bedroom. They also noticed that there were three cars in the driveway belonging to Tyler, Blake, and Mary Jo. The police eventually knocked on the door and rang the doorbell, but no one answered the door, and the officer could, like, see in the window that Tyler was just walking away from the front door. The rest of the lights in the house went off, and then Tyler finally opens the door. When he did so, he had his left hand behind his back. Thinking he may be hiding a weapon, Officer Zamoski pointed his gun at Tyler, ordering him to show him his hands. They checked him for weapons and then handcuffed him to the ground. The officers noticed that Tyler seemed frantic and incoherent, and his pupils were huge. Tyler said that no adults were home when he was asked. And he also told the police, "I know I'm going to Rock Road, so just take me." And this was the street that the jail was on, so he was just prepared.
Mm-hmm.
The police left Tyler outside and started walking inside the house, and Tyler pleaded with them to not go inside. The police noticed how trashed the house was, and while doing their search, they found Sophie, the Hadley's family black lab, locked in a closet, which is very sad.
Mm-hmm. And we don't know where. We're assuming the beagle was still hiding in the shower.
Yeah, somewhere. When they made it to the back of the house where the master bedroom was, they saw streaks of dried blood on the doorframe and baseboards and forced themselves into the room. They saw the parents' blood-spattered bedroom, the pile of blood-stained things, and his parents' bodies. Tyler was then taken to the St. Lucie County Jail. Tyler pleaded not guilty to bludgeoning his parents, and since he was 17 and couldn't be sentenced to death, so in 2014, he was sentenced to life in prison without the possibility of parole. In April 2016, Tyler's sentencing was overturned by an appeal judge who stated that the lower court did not consider the correct alternative to a life sentence. In December of 2018, Tyler was resentenced to life in prison, but with the possibility of parole.
So after Tyler is arrested, the funeral for Blake and Mary Jo Hadley was attended by almost 1,000 people. At the reception after the funeral, the Hadley's neighbor, Rianne Wallace, who was one of the neighbors who had called the cops, talked to Tyler's brother, Ryan, who mentioned going to see Tyler in jail after the funeral, and it would be the first time that he saw Tyler since the murders. Ryan told her, "It's what my parents would want me to do. They wouldn't want me to abandon him. I don't know what I'm going to say. I'll probably just sit there and cry." Some of Tyler's friends were also interviewed after the funeral. One 18-year-old girl who attended the party basically blamed Tyler's parents, saying, quote, "He was under a lot of pressure, and like his parents would never let him be himself. And honestly, I think they caused everything that just happened. His parents always expected him to be someone else that he wasn't, and that's not right. Anything Tyler would do, he'd be wrong for it. He just broke. Honestly, he got crazy because of it. If you have that much hate for somebody, then you actually would do something like that. Tyler had told some of his friends that Blake had punched him in the face before, and told others, including his good friend Marky, that Blake wasn't even his real dad. And Marky was actually shocked when he found out that Tyler had been lying about this.
He just wanted sympathy from his friends. Mm-hmm.
When Anthony Snook was interviewed about the murders, he said, "Wow, I just went to the party of a lifetime. It's messed up what he did, but 20 years from now, I'll be able to say I was there. I hate Port St. Lucie, but that's kind of cool." All of these kids.
What a teenage boy thing to say. That's like, yeah, I found a dead body in the woods. It was cool as fuck.
I poked it with a stick. The majority of his friends also blamed the drugs that he took for what led Tyler to kill his parents. Marky said, "We all make mistakes when we on them jiggers. Tyler drank heavily and smoked pot and popped pills like a madman." David Garcia said that there were all kinds of pills that Tyler took, including monkeys, beans, Xannies, and French fry yellow Xannies, which I don't know what those are.
No, those all sound like made up terms to me, but I'm sure they're real.
His friends also knew that Tyler would take blues, which referred to Percocet and Oxycontin, and he had taken ecstasy a few times.
In that one sitting.
Right. Tyler also took other medication that was prescribed to him, and he took hydroxine.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, hydroxine, which is a mild anti-anxiety medication, and citalopram, which is an antidepressant that is known to present a risk of suicide in teenagers and young adults. In a letter to his grandparents, Tyler wrote about one of these pills, but didn't specify which one, saying, "I wish I never started taking that damn pill. None of this would have ever happened. I regret everything I did. I swear, it's those drugs, man." I like how he talks to his grandparents and still says, "Man."
Man. Dude.
Yeah. But Tyler had told Michael about 6 weeks before the party that he planned on killing his parents when his brother moved out. He also told one of his fellow inmates this, that he had been planning it for 3 weeks, and that he wished that the inmate could have been at the party since it was awesome.
Yeah, like he was just bragging about how cool the party was mm-hmm. while in jail. And while in jail, Tyler was like a low-key celebrity just because everything thought it was insane what he did. And the story was really popular. Like, he threw the party of the year. And he's such an asshole. Mm-hmm. He would sign autographs to other inmates, signing it as Hambo or Hammer Time. And he also got in trouble while in jail by smoking pot and being caught with homemade chips. And he has been jumped and beaten up a couple of times, so that's probably why he has a handmade shiv.
But I feel like he a little bit deserves it.
Yeah, maybe.
Especially if he's being so cocky by, like, signing
autographs. Oh, yeah, if you're giving your autograph in jail, you're an asshole. And he also did continue on with his education while in jail. He passed his GED and even scored a 2100 on the SAT.
Which is, like, much better than I did.
I couldn't tell you what I did, but I know it wasn't good.
I took it twice and got the same exact score both times.
Nice.
I got a 1580.
I couldn't tell you. That sounds like around what I got. And other inmates say that he, like, just reads all day. And the father in jail, so, like, the priest or pastor, I don't really know which one, he says that Tyler has expressed interest in becoming ordained after he gets out of jail.
Which, like, I feel like that's not something that someone with a felony can do.
I honestly don't know what the rules are.
Okay.
And it is very unlikely he will get out of jail, though. The state attorney, Tom Backadale, said in regards to this case that our focus is on punishment, not rehabilitation, which is usually the exact opposite of what jail is. Tyler told psychologist Robert Kinscherf, "I was probably mad about getting in trouble and everything that was going on. They," referring to the murderous thoughts, started a little bit, but increased in frequency. Became an obsession that I couldn't get out of my mind. Pretty intense. I thought about it every day. He also told the psychologist that in the movie in my head, I planned on backing the car in the garage after killing my parents. And he said that he was going to do this in order to kill himself via carbon monoxide poisoning. And he forgave Michael for turning him in. But in this letter that he wrote to him, he did make sure to let him know that I'm in jail because of you. And it's like, probably not, dude. Like, you told 10 people that night that you killed your parents.
And like, reading the letter was so funny because it like started with like, I'm in jail because of you. And then in the middle was like, but you know, I wish I could like drink beer and smoke blunts with you.
Yeah.
And, like, so enjoy that for me. And then at the get, like again at the end, it was like, also I'm in jail because of you.
He just really wanted to let him know.
Yeah.
So as our ending thought, Tyler does express being extremely depressed while in jail, and he expresses this in letters to his grandparents, so we thought we would leave you with a quote to his grandparents. I was just living my life as a normal 17-year-old kid, and next thing I know, I'm in the middle of St. Lucie County Jail. I ruined a lot of people's lives, and I can't seem to forgive myself. I find myself crying a lot because of all of the guilt. Every day, I beg for forgiveness, and I ask God not to send me to hell. I don't want to go there. Father Michael told me that if I just confess my sins and repent, then God will forgive me for everything. I just can't get rid of all this guilt. It's swallowing me whole. I'm extremely nervous that I'm going to get a life sentence. It's making me pretty depressed. I want to say I'm really sorry for all the grief I've stirred up. I know everyone thinks I'm a psychopath and all, but I really am sorry for everything. I've been praying every day for forgiveness and for a decent plea offer. I should get one since it's my first offense. I feel extremely bad for Ryan and especially you and my other grandparents for the grief I've caused. I feel like Ryan doesn't love me anymore, but I know he does and he's just going through a rough time. It's so hard going through this. I'm scared and I feel so alone.
Poor you.
It's just like, it always shows in the letters that they write that they're just thinking about themselves.
But that is Tyler Hadley. And again, there was so much more details we could have written.
Yeah. But I mean, like, this is one of those cases that it's just like, you would never believe that it actually happened, that it was just the premise of a movie until you actually see that it happened.
Yeah. And it's just like everyone who went to school with him had something to say about it.
Yeah, for sure. But after that, do you have a Florida man for us?
I do. It is, in fact, another Florida man calls 911.
Nice. They happen just so frequently.
I know. This one did happen last year, but I thought it was funny. Florida man calls 911 with elaborate story of robbery just to get out of work.
Wow.
So in Dundee, Florida, a Florida man has been arrested after he reportedly called 911 and claimed he was robbed, all that so he could get out of going to work for the day. Brian Anderson, 32, of Dundee, called 911 to report an armed robbery near the intersection of Highway 27 and Lincoln Avenue. He said that two unknown suspects were carrying a gun, stole his money, his necklace, and his phone from him. The suspects threw his phone on the ground and proceeded to jump into a black Crown Victoria and drive away. So, police take this seriously.
Yeah.
Deputies with Polk County Sheriff's Office quickly respond with air units and canine units. When they arrived on scene, deputies figured out that the robbery never actually happened. And Anderson confessed that he made it up because he didn't want to show up for his 11 a.m. shift to Hardee's, where he worked. The Polk County Sheriff's Office said in a Facebook post on Thursday, on the bright side, he didn't have to go.
I mean, they're not wrong.
Because he was arrested and charged with misuse of 911 and knowingly giving false information to law enforcement.
Wow. That is a way to get out of going to work.
It is, because then you're arrested.
Yeah. So he did accomplish what he was looking for.
Exactly.
And for that, I'm very proud of him.
He just, you know, I feel like he called out too many times.
Yeah.
And this time he needed to have a real reason besides being hungover. Yeah.
For sure, for sure. That just really shows the ingenuity of the human spirit right there.
This is a nice picture of what he looks like. He looks like a person who would probably do it.
Yeah, but, for sure. Jesus Christ. We hope that you guys enjoyed this week's episode and we brought you a case that you probably haven't heard of. But make sure you guys go ahead and check us out on social media. We post all of our pictures on Facebook and Instagram, and we sometimes put tweets out on Twitter. Not really, because I'm bad at Twitter. And if you have any stories to send in or any suggestions, send us an email at crimebinge@gmail.com.
Yeah, we should get on that again.
Yeah.
And like maybe do an episode like because of all this quarantine stuff where we read you your stories, because that's fun.
We can do it. We can definitely do like a bonus episode of people reading their story, or of us reading stories if people send them in. That'd be fun. Give us something to do. We already have plenty of to do, but it'll still be fun.
Right? And remember to please, please, please rate and review on Apple or wherever you listen, wherever you can, because it really helps us out and it makes us happy in this time of sadness.
Exactly. And keep on binging. Bye.
See ya.